Blog Talk Radio.
Deborah, you're muted. Deborah, you're on mute. You're on mute. Unmute yourself. And then you have to start the webinar first so we can broadcast. And once you start, I can go ahead and stream. Did you hit the Zoom start webinar? The Zoom button to start the webinar?
It's not recording.
Right. You have to hit start webinar on Zoom. Can you hear us, Deborah? Wait, can you hear us, Deborah, or can you hear me?
Can you start webinar if you want me to?
Yes.
Okay, well, here we go.
This meeting is being recorded.
Hey, Deborah, can you hear us okay? I don't think she can hear us. That would be a problem. Let me turn my thing. Deborah, can you hear us? Uh-oh.
We're waiting to go live on Facebook before we start. So please.
Yeah. Okay. But I don't think she can hear us. Hold on one second. This is technical difficulties. This technology is.
And just in case we are live on Blog Talk Radio, what happens behind the scenes, so hang in there. This show will get started in just a second. I'm about to go too far back, but I remember the days when cable first started. You could see what all the broadcasters were doing behind the scenes before the show started. Well, this is what's here. It's happening.
Does someone have her cell phone number? You can text her.
I'm on with Deborah now. We're fixing the issue.
Wonderful.
Oju is getting taken care of. And that reminds me. Thank you.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're having a problem with the live stream option, allowing us to live stream. So that's what we're trying to adjust before we get started. But I know we have guests that are live in the Zoom room. So we don't want to be rude to you guys. If you can give us 2 more minutes just so we can see if we can resolve the issue, that would be helpful.
Oh, I just took a look at who's in the Zoom room. I'm excited. We got some regulars back. Happy New Year's to you. So, Peter, would you like to give us some pre-show wisdom?
Are you trying to put me on the spot, Ursula? Is that what you're doing here? We need some like blog talk music.
Yeah.
Putting Peter on the spot on an early Saturday morning. Happy New Year to you, there, Ursula.
Well, Happy New Year's to you too. This is going to be a great one.
To you as well. Thank you for joining us.
We're so sorry that we're having some technical difficulties. It is going to be recorded on Facebook. So we're going to go on and get started. So I want to say good morning and welcome. Thank you for joining us for the Think and Grow Rich Mastermind Live with guest speaker Tamika Breathwaite. Buckle up for a deep discussion on the principle of desire, the starting point of all achievements. That's the first step. Thanks for joining us, to our guests. Thanks for joining us this morning. Let us know you are here. Share your comments in the chat.
And thank you for that. Good morning, everyone. This is one of those days where Ann McNeil saying that done is better than perfect, but this is going to be perfect from this point on because you are here and we are about to start this year off rocking and rolling. This is the second one of the year and we're still in that new baby feel, you know, getting the year off. So what better way to start the mastermind call for Think and Grow Rich, our show for Think and Grow Rich for 2021 than with desire. That is what we're going to be talking about today. And we are a team because part of the team, Ann McNeil and Galen Bingham, are kicking off the accountability meeting. And Dr. Peter A. James and I will be your co-hosts for today with our special guest, Tamika Breathwaite. And I'm telling you what she has to talk about is just right on time. Okay. So hang in there, because you're about to have a wonderful time interacting with Tamika, because I'm excited about it, too. So, again, I am Ursula Odom, and I am the CEO of Sulatu, and we make old, new, and everything we do, and that we capture, preserve, and present legacy information in any form possible. And that's why I love getting the stories of the people that we share with you. And today will be no exception. We will gather that wonderful information. And joining me to have this conversation is Mr. Peter A. James. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning there, Ursula. Good to see you. Happy New Year to all of you who this is your first time for the year. Some of you, it's been your second time joining us for the year. Excited to be here. My name is Dr. Peter A. James. I am the high performance coach. And today is going to be very special because we're diving into desire, the starting point of all achievement there, Ursula. And I'm excited because it's a new year. I'm excited because we almost reset the book to a certain extent. And we're diving back into Think and Grow Rich in order to extract all of its wisdom, all of its guidance. And I think desire, this chapter of desire, has so much benefits, so many benefits for us, especially early on in the year, where our mindset needs to be in order to start the year off fresh. So if this is your first time joining us, welcome. You're in for a treat. If not, if this is not your first time, welcome back, and please join us in part of this conversation, whether it's the chat, or whether it's asking some other questions on Facebook Live once we get that going, or even Blog Talk Radio for that matter as well. So excited to be here. Back to you, Ursula.
All right. Thank you very much. So as Peter mentioned, we are talking about desire today, and that's where everything starts. If you don't know what you want, how in the world are you going to get it? And that's what this chapter talks about, is how people have turned that desire into action and actually getting what they really want. And there are so many wonderful examples in here. You know, it talks about Mr. Barnes, Edward C. Barnes, wanted to be a partner with Thomas Edison. And he had no experience. He had never worked for the person before. But he walked in knowing that he wanted to be this man's associate, and he would take nothing less. So even if it meant he had to start at the very bottom and rise up through the ranks, doing whatever it took to get to that associate level, he was prepared to do it. And he did not take any possibility or didn't entertain any possibility of not achieving that. And that's what this is about. What do you want? What are you committing to that you will burn the bridges behind you because you're determined to get it? Or is it something you think you want, but you don't know how to get there, haven't really strategize? Well, this is the day that we begin to crystallize those plans. And we will start this first by letting you know what the 13 principles are, because desire is number one, but there's 13 of these instructional chapters that we're going through by the time the year is over. And we would like to share with you what they are. Okay. We normally have a video.
Normally do have a video right about now there. However, if the video doesn't cue in about 20 seconds, I will begin to read these 13 phenomenal steps.
Yes, and we did work out the issue team, so we appreciate everybody's patience. Ursula, we realized we made you the host of the show instead of the co-host, so that would be our issue on our end.
Oh, okay.
In charge of everything.
That is going to be interesting. So I'm going to tell you right up front, I need some help this morning.
That's no problem. If you select your participants.
Okay.
And then if you see TGR Saturday and you select more, you can turn the host capabilities back over.
Okay.
And I think we'll be good to go, everybody.
All right. I clicked more, and what would you like me to do at that point?
You're going to make host. You should see
Edit profile?
Say that again?
Edit profile?
No. If you click participants, mm-hmm. and it pop up on your right-hand side, mm-hmm. and you go to the person that says TGR
Saturday
and click more.
Okay. make hosts.
There you go.
Oh, there are no better words this morning. Okay.
Thank
and
you
so much.
If
I click on change host, it asks me to change host. Do I do that or do I say, what do I do at this point? I have some things on my screen.
You're good. There we go. 13 principles. Here you go, guys. Thank you so much, everybody, for your patience.
In order to do that, we have to take a look at step 6, which is organized planning. That is how we crystallize our desire into action, organizing ourselves. Having the thought and not acting on the thought isn't going to get us anywhere. We have the thought, we go through the organized planning to transform that thought into action. Step number 7 is decision. What Napoleon Hill said is the mastery of procrastination. Napoleon Hill said that the antidote to procrastination is simply to make a decision and then move on that decision. Step 8 is persistence. We have to have a sustained effort, which is induced by our faith, in order to achieve our goals. One of Napoleon Hill's books I love, even the title, 3 Feet from Gold. Those people who became rich during the gold rush in the Wild Wild West days didn't do that because they were necessarily smarter or had better information than anyone else. It's because they stayed just a little bit longer. Sometimes people left when they were just literally 3 feet from gold. So hanging in there, being persistent, is step number 8. Step number 9, the power of the mastermind, the driving force. None of us can accomplish anything on our own. Everybody, I don't care who you are, from the most prominent person to the person who might be considered the lowest on the totem pole. Everybody has someone who helped them get to where they are. And the power of the mastermind is being able to use those influences around us. Use the thoughts. Use the knowledge. Use the exploration of other people to help us in achieving our goal. Step number 10, the mystery of sex transmutation. This title can be a little confusing, but essentially what the mystery of sex transmutation means is that we oftentimes in our society think of sex as being purely physical. It is absolutely physical, but what Napoleon Hill teaches us is that sex also has an emotional element, and that sex is the strongest of our desires. That if we can take our sexual energy, transform that into positive, creative influences, it can propel us to new heights. And so we spend quite a bit of time talking about the mystery of step 10, which is sex transmutation. Step number 11 is the subconscious mind, which Napoleon Hill tells us is the connecting leap between our human mind and the infinite intelligence, the source of all thought, the source of all creativity. Conscious mind, we spent some time talking about how we use that through the influence of autosuggestion and what we're feeding into our mind. Step number 12, which is the brain, the broadcasting and receiving station of thought. Final step number 13, the sixth sense, the door to the temple of wisdom. This is the final step through which infinite intelligence may and will communicate voluntarily without any effort from or demands by the individual. The principle is the apex of the philosophy. It can be assimilated, understood, and applied only by first mastering the other 12 principles.
Okay. Well, welcome to our Facebook audience, and you're just in time for a great show. One of the things that you heard was that we're talking about desire today. And I'm telling you, when that recording got to persistence, I said, that's it. We have the desire to make this work this morning, and we have been persistent enough to see it through until we can introduce to you the wonderful guest that we have today, Ms. Shamika Brakesmith. So without further ado, Shamika has a Master of Science in Education and is a peak performance strategist. She is often invited by organizations, associations, and educational institutions to provide inspiring programs on productivity and executive presence. Her eminent training programming helps professionals learn how to implement new systems that implement new systems that streamline the demands of one's time so that they can achieve more at work, increase their influence, and live intentionally. Learn more from her at www.shamikabraithwaite.com. And that will be in the chat and Facebook comments. So, okay, we have waited long enough. Good morning, Shamika. And you need to unmute. There you go. Good morning. We want to hear about your story. Tell us about what this book, what this chapter means to you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me here as a guest today. I love the work by Napoleon Hill. This book is one of those books that I constantly keep near my desk, and I refer to it constantly to remind me of the principles. And one of the reasons I picked up the book is because a lot of business professionals recommend it. It's one of the books that when you look and you study great entrepreneurs, successful leaders, and once they're interviewed and then asked, what is one book that really transformed your mindset, you provided that shift, and helped to contribute to your success, they always mention Think and Grow Rich. So I've been reading this book at least for the past 12 years, and it is a book that's on my reading list to read again this year. Three types of books that I want to read this year is all about mindset and execution, as well as productivity. And when it comes to mindset, Think and Grow Rich is that foundation, which a lot of other books would base their premise off. So I love to go back to one of the originals.
Good. So let's start with, when you're talking about reading a book a second time, what gives you the desire to do that?
Well, it all depends on, there are many different things. And, you know, when I read a book, where I'm at in that time of my life, it changes, and it changes over time. I'm reading, and I sometimes, some certain books, especially Think and Grow Rich, I read it again because now my perspective has changed and shifted. So when I'm going back over the desire section, it's impacted me differently from when I read it last year, the year before. So that's the reason why I love going back, rereading Think and Grow Rich, because now it's just adding, or should I say, unveiling a new fold, unfolding a new concept and thought that I haven't thought about in a particular way before.
Now, it's interesting that you say that because I remember the first time I read it with this group. I mean, I'd heard about it years ago as well. But the chapter, and there's one line in there that says, I know I have the ability to achieve the object of my desire. And I had lived with that for quite some time. I can do things. But what I needed to do was make sure that those things that I could do were attached to the desire that had been crystallized, and then move on taking the action to make sure that that desire was realized. So is there a moment like that for you in any of what you've read, especially desire?
Yes. With desire, just being able to have that fire, being able, you know, to build that aspiration. And for me, it came with being exposed, because you cannot dream beyond what you've been exposed to. So I think for me, being able to expand the different resources and circles that I'm in, to be able to dream bigger because I've seen it. Some of the things that really help to that mindset is really seeing others, you know, being successful and knowing that it's possible, especially when I see successful people who come from a background similar to mine and think like, wow, that is possible. And then even for that, and in some cases, I have to be the trailblazer. You know, many times people said that hasn't been done or that cannot be done. But once I have the desire to do it, you know, to go after something and really just saying, you know, there's really no plan B. This is going to happen. Having that passion and that desire to make it come true has been something that I've been able to implement in my life.
And how have you implemented it in some ways? Example.
So when it comes to desire, you know, I would think about something, and whether it's for my career, my business, my life, my family, I would, you know, taking principles from the book, visualization, auto-suggestion, affirmation, building goals, steps, everything that the principles that we just or mentioned within the book are the things that I've done to support and to crystallize and materialize those visions and desires that I have for my life.
You know, I've heard before that if you can't see it, you can't imagine. I'm not sure exactly how it goes, but you, in order to do it, you have to see that it's possible. So I think in terms of Gabby Douglas, okay, that means that when little girls saw her win all those medals, they saw it, and then all of a sudden it can become a reality in their mind. Their desire can be locked in on becoming like her. But as you were speaking, it occurred to me that, you know, in addition to that, if you can imagine it and see it in your mind's eye, then it still can be achieved. So there are two ways. Either you saw it from someone else, or that you put some things in the universe together uniquely in your head, or at least unique to you, and then you go based on what you see in your mind's eye toward that goal. But whichever one it is, you're locking in on a desire to see an outcome. And when I look at page 27 of Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, Ross Cornwell edition that we're looking at, he talks about the Chicago fire and the fact that a lot of the buildings were burned down, businesses were run out of business because their livelihoods were gone. But then there was one guy that looked at that rubble and said that he was going to build the biggest store ever in that spot. And he came back and he did just that, and that was Marshall Field. And that's a name that most of us know. And only because he could see it in his mind's eye, what he wanted. Have you locked in on a particular desire in life?
Yes.
That you're
yes.
still working on, maybe?
Yes, I've locked into desires in my life. In my house, we have vision boards everywhere. We have, and we really try to create for ourselves the vision for our family and for myself as a business owner. What type of woman I want to become, really, as, and you know, I love the work that you do, Ursula, being very intentional about my legacy and, you know, what's the message and the teachings that I want to leave behind. So everything that I do is very intentional, and the vision that I have for my life is, you know, I value family, I value time, the freedom of time, empowerment, education. This year, I look forward to applying to grad school, and you know, that's been a life goal for me. I love education, and that is something that I want to do. And even growing as an entrepreneur, I see myself really expanding as a woman who would create multiple businesses and giving back to my community. So I do a lot of work through my civic organizations, giving back and empowering the community.
We're going to talk about your business too, but what you reminded me of too was that at one point in time, when especially when Oprah was really rocking and rolling, I said, how in the world can somebody have 10 businesses or however many businesses she had? And I said, I want to do that. And so the different streams of income, I'm kind of getting there. Now, not at her level, obviously, but I had a desire to have multiple streams of income, and I see it happening. Not that it's in a big way, but at least whatever that goal was, that desire was, I see it unfolding in some ways. Now, your business, I think, is perfect for where we are now in the chapter and in our lives and in the year, because you help people get organized or get their systems in order. Tell us about that. What do you really do?
So I work with, I'm a peak performance strategist, and I work with professional women so they can achieve more at work, so they can exceed their goals and increase their influence. And with that, learning how to take their full day and really maximize it and sizzle it down just to a critical few, they're able to have more time to spend on the things that they love to do, which is family, giving back, sitting on boards, association. So it really helps them to create those systems in place in order to achieve that goal.
And when you say system, what's that?
So by systems, I mean having processes in place. So it could be technology, what type of apps, technology tools that you need to automate and systemize that will help you do things quicker, faster, more efficiently. And then also systems in place. For example, you may excel and be very great at what you do at work, but then when it comes to now having that conversation with your family members or friends and the commitments and obligations that you have, you may struggle in balancing your time, having certain conversations, establishing boundaries, and getting everyone on board so you're able to all achieve and contribute to that vision and goal that you have for yourself. So that's what I mean by setting up those systems in place.
Now, it means something to me when you say that, because my vision board at one point was to have books and to be an individual contributor, quite frankly. And then I redid it. And what I created was, I want to turn talents into organizations or division. I said division. So whatever talent I had, I want to have a division in my corporation that would take care of that particular talent. But the only way you can grow like that is to have systems and to have some kind of structure that you can give to someone else so that they can do it. So I truly salute you and what you're doing, because that's the only way we get to grow, is we know what you're here to teach us. So, Peter, I see you shaking your head. Jump in here and tell us what you're thinking.
Yeah, lots of stuff there, Ursula and Shanika. Thank you so much again for joining us this morning. As we dive into this chapter on desire, and my first question, actually I have a couple of questions, but before I even focus on me, Regina has a question in the chat, which I want to pose to you there a little bit, Shanika, but also it might be a good topic of discussion as well. Regina says, explain how desire can be both good and bad. Is there good desire versus divine potential? So what are your thoughts on that, how desire can be both, or could it be good or bad? Any thoughts on that initially? I'm putting you on the spot there, Shanika, forgive me.
No, I mean, it all depends on what your desire is. You know, some people, you know, you have desires that it's all on that moral factor. So you could desire something bad, which is like, I wish that person was, you know, not here anymore. That, yeah, of course, that as it break, you know, the law of moral and ethical guidelines, then yes, that would be something that you desire. That is bad. But outside of that, I mean, for you to desire money is not bad. For you to desire success or education, love, family, that is not it is not bad. It's good. But then once it starts to go into the realm of illegal and unethical, then yes, because it's like you want to have a family, and it's like, that's great, that's good. But it's like, hey, I see someone's baby over there, I want to kidnap them. Then yeah, that's wrong. So you always want to make sure when it comes to desire that it's ethical, moral, and that's the guidelines here.
And I'll even piggyback on that a little bit, Shamika, if that's okay. Maybe even borderline selfish. So yeah, you're right. I think it is important for us to have our own desires of what we want. When it becomes something that may benefit you but nobody else, and it's all about me, then the desire, you're jading the desire to a certain extent. You're twisting it. But if it benefits society or those around you, as you even described there, Shamika, then you are, I think the universe helps you, it lines up with you more so, as opposed to it's just all about the desires, which oftentimes can turn a little bit. History has shown too much desire can become, in a certain type of way, can turn negative. We've seen that in recent examples of history, especially leadership, and that the desire that is too selfish can shift overall as well. So, yeah, that's a good question, Regina. Thank you so much for asking that. Shamika, so my question is more around obstacles related to desire. So in page 34 of the text, Napoleon Hill provides us with a lot of different examples of those who have overcome situations in order to accomplish their desires, whether we're talking about Beethoven, who was deaf, Milton, who was blind, Booker T. Washington, born into slavery, Helen Keller, deaf and blind, and so on and so forth. How have obstacles played into your path relative to desire? Maybe there's some stories, or maybe there's just a mindset that you adopt knowing that stuff is going to happen. A quick example, look at our show today. It was not the smoothest process, but as Helen Keller says, her entire life served as evidence that no one ever is defeated until defeat has been accepted as a reality. So, Shamika, your comment.
Yes, obstacles, there will be obstacles. But one thing that I've learned, and I came up with the acronym PLAN. And of course, you really have to plan for these obstacles. And what I mean by that is prepare, leverage, accommodate, and navigate. So when I hit or come across an obstacle, I think to myself, okay, did I prepare for this? If I did, what systems do I have in place that I can execute? Leverage. If there's an obstacle, as you know, if there was a physical boulder, you know you would have to use some leverage in order to move it. So what are those leverages? What can you leverage in order to try to move that obstacle out of your way, accommodate? And, you know, I look at ways that either I need to make accommodations into my life or the activities that I need to do, or I would need to accommodate someone else in order to make that happen. And then navigate. If I come through an obstacle, there have been instances before, many stories where I did not have the resources or the information, and I had to learn how to navigate, network, become resourceful in order to get that. So that's been the structure that I've implemented in order, you know, to overcome a variety of different obstacles as I'm pursuing my desires.
Give us those words and that acronym again for us, please, Shamika.
Yes. So when you come across obstacles, you want to make sure you have a plan, and that stands for prepare, leverage, accommodate, and navigate.
Awesome. Love it. Love that. Love that. My follow-on question has to do with the systems that you are mentioning. I'm a big proponent of that also. While desire is definitely the starting point of all achievement, we hear so much about goals, objectives, and everything like that. I just read a book called Atomic Habits by James Clear. And in it, he talks about, listen, everybody's got a goal. And most people don't accomplish their goals. And the difference between those who accomplish their goals and those who don't are the systems that they put in place in order to accomplish them. They're actually focusing more on the systems than they are the goal itself, because the systems is what allows you to maybe have repetition or just fine-tune the process. So how important are these systems that you've described to the desire, to the goal, to accomplishing our objective, especially as we're thinking about New Year's resolutions and goals? So many people are doing that. What's your thoughts on the systems part of it?
I think it's critical. As we talk about desire is that unwavering, you're going to make this happen no matter what. And, you know, as a student, as an educator, I always like people to ace it. You always want to ace it. You want to, you know, you don't just want to just barely make it, like, huh, I made the, you know, whatever was the bare minimum passing, so you want to ace it. So I love acronyms, so I have another one for you. So ace it, aspire, create, evaluate, develop, investigate new opportunities and time management. So as I'm thinking about my goals, I'm aspiring. I have that desire. I am creating the systems in place that I need in order to support and make that happen. I am evaluating, constantly having some checkpoints, checking my milestones, evaluating what is working, what's not. How do I need to pivot? Do I need to stay still? When I think about developing, is there a skill that I'm lacking? So it's looking like, what do I need to do? How do I need to show up? How do I need to develop to be the person that I need to be to sustain this type of goal? If I want to have great money, I need to learn how to manage money, how to invest, investigate new opportunities. What are the opportunities that I need to find to support me in this goal? And last but not least, time management. Because if I want to accomplish this goal, I need to make time for that goal. Because anytime I say yes to something, I'm saying no to something else. So being very clear and focused and intentional on how I spend time, which is my most valuable resource, is what helps, anchor that system in place for accomplishing my goals.
So very similarly, could you give us those words and that acronym again, please, Tamika?
So you want to ace those goals. So it's aspire, create, evaluate, develop, I for investigating opportunities, and T for time management.
Thank you so much. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, and those of you who are listening or watching, systems are definitely a part of this process. And while desire is important to have, the objectives, the goals, you know, and I love how Tamika mentioned it, you know, you can wish for a certain amount of money all day long, but if you don't know how to manage it, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen because you just don't know how to manage it appropriately. So what are the systems in place? What are maybe resources of people you're putting around you in order to be able to accomplish those that desire in your life as well? Ursula, what are your thoughts on some of this?
Well, a lot of things. we're talking about life not being so good, or desire being not what we would think is right. It occurred to me that I just heard Myron Golden, you know, in passing through Facebook, I heard him say that life either is working for you or working on you. And I thought that was pretty awesome, because either you're learning from what you're going through or you're moving towards your desired goal. And it's always better, in my opinion, to get through that thing that's working on you so that you can work toward what you want to do. And when I think in terms of systems, what came to mind is when we're in this environment, zooming, we're zooming all over the place, that I, and in this case, we have people that will take care of it for us. But when I'm in another environment, I always have a Word document open with all my contact information, so all I have to do is copy and paste. If given, if that window opens that I can introduce myself or I can, you know, point somebody to my website, copy paste right into that chat. And that to me is a little tiny system. You know, it, and someone asked just yesterday for me to talk about the books that I've written or give me an opportunity to talk about books that I've written. And being that it was the first of the year, I'm creating my ad folder that is appropriate for today. And I reworked a file with just the books I've written. And I have to admit, I was surprised. It's like, oh, I forgot I wrote all those. And just now having that, reworking that, such that it's a compact little thing that I can just give to somebody or send to someone, shortens the process and increases the possibility of actually getting that opportunity. So whatever that is in your life, I think we each need to evaluate it at this point in time. Are we using old information or can we tweak it a little bit for 21? And so that's my thought about that. Peter, you had something else you want?
No, good. It's good stuff. I loved it. One of the last things I had just mentioned right before you started talking was for our audience to think about what are the processes they're putting in place, systems they're putting in place as well. Part of that is who are the people that you're putting around you in order to accomplish your desire, accomplish your goals, accomplish your objectives. And I think that's a good segue there, Ursula, into talking about our Think and Grow Rich accountability meeting that is going on as we speak. For those of you who missed it, no worries whatsoever, but I definitely want to put a plug in for the ability to be able to surround yourself with like-minded individuals who are on your same path, who are on your same trajectory. Sometimes may mean even cutting off or reducing those individuals who are not on your same path and not on your same trajectory. And this Think and Grow Rich accountability meeting that is going on right now in Boca Raton, Florida, headlined by Ann McNeil, our distinguished host and guru, gives us the opportunity to do that on an annual basis right now. Ursula and I have chosen to stay back to help host this phenomenal show that you are listening to right now. If not, we would be right there present with all the individuals who are looking to establish processes for their 2021. So kudos to all of them. Prayers for all of them who are experiencing that right now. I pray that they keep safe and that they experience a phenomenal start to their new year. But for those of you who could not make it, there's another opportunity for something very similar. And what we have available for you is the McNeil Factor Accountability Meeting, which is a virtual meeting that will be held on January 30th in a few weeks coming up. If you have not had the chance to really do a deep dive into planning your, not only your 2021, but your life, this McNeil Factor annual meeting will allow you the ability, provide you the ability to be able to do so. It will look into at least 10 areas of your life to include, which I love about this, writing your obituary. If you have not done that, I highly, highly recommend that it becomes a part of your being, part of your process as well. It's going to be Saturday, January 30th from 2021. The information is on the screen, and it will also be from 1 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The link is also in the chat for Zoom, and also we'll make sure that it is located on Facebook Live. So if you have not, if you don't know and have not experienced accountability, if you have not experienced surrounding yourself with others like-minded individuals, masterminds, as we like to call it here, are we Napoleon Hillites. That's new there, Ursula. I'm going to start using that, Napoleon Hillites. Definitely take advantage of this McNeil Factor annual meeting coming up very soon as well. I guess it's almost time for parting shots there, Ursula.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that. So all of us have an opportunity to get this year off, started off right. Shamika, I said Tamika because I got relatives then, Tamika. Sorry about that. I made you family. So would you like to share first how people can get in touch with you, and if there's anything that we haven't gotten you to say so far that you would like to share, this is your time to do that.
Yes, I'm so happy to be here. And, you know, one of the principles in the book that Napoleon Hill mentioned is that desire is the seedling. It is truly the seedling of reality. So the way that, you know, I work with people is helping them, you know, develop those seeds to exceed. And it's an acronym, once again, another one, which is strategy, executive presence, excellent execution, the distinctive factor and significance. And I really believe that you have to nurture your nature and develop and continuously, you know, develop yourself in order to, and get your mind, your body, your health. And I just really think that you have to be intentional. I can't even stress that enough. You want to be intentional. So that's something that I do want to leave people with, is just thinking about that. Just be intentional about your 2021 this year.
All right. Thank you very much. And Peter, how can people get in touch with you? Do you have any special projects going on?
Always. I think I always got something. I can't think of any right now specifically. I got like a handful. My name is Dr. Peter A. James. I am the high performance coach, encouraging you to shift your mindset. Yeah, definitely have some projects going on for sure. But I ask you to stay connected with me on any social media platform at Dr. Peter A. James. That's at DrPeterAJames. Great show. Listen, it's the beginning of 2021. If you have not begun to put a strategy in place for you to be able to accomplish your goals, not even just for the year, but for the rest of your life, now is the time to be able to do so. But first, ensure that you have the desire to be able to do so, and the desire, the identify what your mindset is like, and then be able to execute. Good stuff, Ursula.
Well, thank you. So for me, I am Ursula Odom, CEO of Sula 2, and we make old new in everything we do. Now, that little saying, it tends to help people remember the name of the company, but I also like doing that at the beginning of the year. So this particular year, Sula 2 we have hashtags that speak to what this year is about. So if you see on Facebook, it'll say Sula 2, but it will also tell you to get it done in 21 and make a commitment. You have a desire right now, then on Facebook or text it to me or put it in a comment somewhere that says hashtag I am getting it done in 21. Okay, well, I am hashtag getting it done in 21. And send it to me. And then at the end, or as you do it, I also have a hashtag that says hashtag got it done in 21. So we don't want to just leave it on the table. We want to get it done in 21. Or if you're getting it done, getting it done in 21. What's happened? We have the tools. Shamika has told us about the systems. We have the book. This book is all about getting it done, and you should have your copy, okay? Get it done in 21. Thinking real rich.
Yeah.
All right. With that being said, we have just completed another show. which only means it's time to go get it done. And come back next week because we'll have another show, another guest that will help us move through thinking and growing rich. Thank you, Shamika and Dr. Peter. Have a great day.